class today. I think we have covered many similar subjects like this because we need to get into a good grasping, good understanding of the Ten Commandments before we even get into the Ten Commandments. And so, if you would turn to your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, Matthew 24, we're going to do something a little bit different today. Matthew 24, and you may wonder why Chris read Genesis chapter 1. So we will see all that coming into form once we finish what that has to do with the Ten Commandments. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 24, 11, verse 11. He says here, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Some of your Bibles may say in verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound. The correct literal word there is lawless. No law. People won't obey the law. Isn't that what we are living today? That's what Jesus said exactly. And he said, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. There's no love for the law. No hunger and thirst for the Lord. Hearts have become cold towards God because of the lawlessness that is abounding and surrounding us today. And there is lawlessness all over the nation. I'm reading, got this from FBI, I just want to, from the internet. Just want to read this. And it says here, we must realize that our law enforcement officers face danger on a daily basis, talking about the policemen on the road. They are in danger every day. Since 1988, nearly 700 law enforcement officers throughout the country have been slain in the line of duty. Another 629 have been killed in duty related to accidents. And over 600,000 officers have been assaulted. Well, goes what the Bible says here. We are living in days of lawlessness. And even the Christians, their hearts have become cold. And even in this letter it says, while progress is being made, of course, there's always progress, but you don't see that. There's always this to fight crime. Violence remains a serious threat to those who sworn to protect society. Interesting. So where's the safe place to live? There's no place. There's no safe city to live. Look at the divorce rate. I just took this out too. The national divorce statistics. To read this, 50% of the marriages, they end up in divorce. Christian or not. Doesn't matter. And the divorce rate is climbing high. At the same time, we see a lot of crusades. Don't we? The church is saying that they are having revival, crusades. And they are seeing that many thousands are coming forward. And many are getting saved. That's what the church is telling. Yet, we see that our cities are getting worse and worse. So if all those people are getting saved, the city should get better. Of course, there are many crusades, but the gospel that is being presented is a sugar for the gospel. There is no true repentance. There is no humility. There is a lot of entertainment in the gospel. So, there you don't find that your soul will reap of sin against God. You don't see that. It's all entertainment kind of a crusades. So there is no true repentance. So Jesus is right. He's correct when he said that lawlessness is abounding every side. There is no obedience or respect to authority today. No respect. Policeman, when he pulls out somebody, you're not sure whether that policeman will get shot. High school, the children are disobedient to their teachers. Their teachers, the teachers are even not sure. They might get, you know, the student is punished. What do you see in the newspaper? A teacher can get shot. A mailman got shot the other day. So here we see the word discipline is a kind of a past tense word now. People don't even know what discipline is. Parents have no control over their children. There are more people living together, not getting married. You know that too? More and more people are living together instead of getting married because they want to see they are compatible first. So they live together. You marry a person because you love that person. Love is the key and not compatibility. And it says here, Jesus said, love of many shall wax cold because of lawlessness. Now who is to be blamed most of the part? The church is the backbone here. Is the church is the one who teaches morality. Right? So the church is to be blamed. As many who are called reputable Bible teachers, they are teaching that the law of God is not binding today for today. They say that the law was only the Old Testament for Israel, not for the church today. They say we are living in the dispensation of grace. And the law is the enemy of grace. They teach when we are born again, all the responsibilities to the saints in the Old Testament is automatically done away. Not under the law anymore, we are under grace. As we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit is in us, we don't need the law. If anyone teaches that the Ten Commandments is for today, and teaches that it is the rule of life, and teach that it brings conviction of sin, that person is branded as a legalist. But when you go back in history, the Protestant church, when it began with the Reformation, all the reformers believed and taught the law of God. They taught that the law of God is the rule of life. The standard for our moral life. I'll tell you, why we have a law? We need to have a standard, rules, regulations for our moral law, our moral life. But the majority of the church has done away with the Ten Commandments. So how can we expect good citizens on the street? How can you? What is your main goal as a Christian? What's your main desire as a Christian? Your main goal? Have a nice life here? Go to church? Main goal is to love the Lord, to please. That's our desire, to how to please the Lord. How can we do this? How can we please the Lord? By what? By obedience. Obedience to what? Obedience to His will. Obedience to His will. The only one who perfectly obeyed God was who? The Lord Jesus Christ. We couldn't. We have violated the law of God. We need to read the Ten Commandments, otherwise we don't know that we have violated the Ten Commandments. That's why we need to study. We have violated the commandments of God in our mind, in the words, what we speak, and in action. But if you turn with me to Psalm 40, verse 6. Six to eight says here, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. Who is talking here? He's talking about who? Who is this me? Is it David? It's a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then behold, I come, in the scroll of the book, it is written of who? Of me. Jesus said in the New Testament, it's written of me. Then he goes on to say, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord, you yourself know. Who proclaimed the good news? The Lord Jesus Christ. I have not hidden your righteousness within your heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. And here we see, goes with the book of Hebrews, I believe there's a scripture that goes along with that, that the Lord Jesus is the only one who has absolutely perfectly obeyed the law. Prophesied in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament. As Jesus said, I have come not to break the law, but to fulfill the law. So as Christians, where do we fit in now? Huh? Where do we fit in? The Lord Jesus, He fulfilled the law. We deserve. We broke the law. We break the law, what do we get? If you go on the freeway, if you commit a murder or whatever like that, if you violate the law in the country, you get a punishment, right? And the punishment comes from where? From the judge, right? Now the judge gives you a punishment according to the crime you have done, right? Now, the punishment comes from a finite judge. And his punishment is from a finite judge, and the punishment will be finite. That means, it's not going to be infinite, right? But if, and we have committed a crime against the country. But what if you have committed the crime against the judge of the universe? He is infinite. Even the smallest little thing that you break, that you disobey, you are disobeying an infinite judge, the majesty, almighty, all-powerful God. So the punishment is going to be infinite. And we are not perfect. We have all violated the word of God. But here Jesus comes in. He fulfills every little dot of the law. And then, not only that, his, all our sins are put to him, right? And his righteousness, his holiness is transferred to us when we truly repent and realize that we have violated God's law. When we truly realize that we need nothing but the wrath of God. Then once we realize that, what do we do? How do we fit in now with the law as Christians? Are you going to just done away with the law? What? We need to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called what? Christians. The word Christian means Christ-like. So we need to imitate him because he is our Lord. He is our Savior. And we imitate the teacher. He is our teacher. We imitate him. So if you turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. 1 John chapter 2. And chapter 2, starting from verse 2. And he says here, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. Okay, verse 2, and he himself is a propitiation for our sins, not for us only, but also for the whole world. Now this we know, that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is what? A liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. This we know, that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself ought to walk just as he walked. So we as Christians should imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. That means we need to walk just like he walked. Jesus came to please the Father. And how are we going to please the Father if we imitate the Lord Jesus Christ? We have to walk like he walked. So our desire is to truly love our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. So this love should not be just by word. If I ask anybody today, or anywhere, most people, if they ask you, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? They will say, yes. But if you see their fruits, the life, no, it's a big no. Even the Bible says, even the demons believe in God. Well, just believing doesn't make anything. It's just true. It's just demons believe in God, but the demons won't repent. Anybody can believe in God, but there is no true repentance. There is no fruits. So just loving Jesus doesn't make anything good just by your words. We need to truly obey. John chapter 14, verse 21. The Gospel of John 14, 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. again the commandments. He who keeps my commandments and keep them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Pretty strong words there. How do we know that we are the children of God? Huh? How do we know that we are Christians? Again, go back to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 1. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. So, there you go. It's true love. True love is keeping his commandments. Then verse 2 says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. So by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Again, we see. How do you know we are the children of God? We keep his commandments. That's true love. I tell you, there will be false teachers who will come and teach from the pulpit, and they will not tell you, I am a false teacher, so I'm going to teach you today. They're not going to introduce themselves as, I'm a false teacher. They will come with the Bible. They will use the Bible, they will use the scriptures. How do you know that they are teaching something not right? If they do not preach sin with conviction and no repentance and to live a godly life, you will, I'll tell you, get away from that teacher. There got to be sin. Preaching sin with conviction, with repentance, and to live a godly life. These false teachers will despise the law. They will tell the law is done away, under grace. If you turn with me to Jude 4, there's only one chapter in Jude. Jude 4 says here, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of all ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. So unbelieving, that's going to be judgment. Then verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, that is homosexuality, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Verse 8, likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise what? Dominion. And speak evil of divinity. The word dominion is the same word essence of lawlessness there. They don't like the law. They hate the law. May I tell you something? All men, any part of the world, they usually, generally, they want to abstain from evil, even if they don't have the Ten Commandments. People want to abstain from evil, they want to do good. A lot of people who are not Christians, they do good works, right? The Buddhists, they do good things. The Hindus, they do good things. You need to remember, a lot of people, they do their good things to glorify themselves. There is a selfishness there. Not to give glory to our Lord and our Savior, the Creator God. So, here in Romans chapter 2, verse 14 to 15 says, for the Gentiles, Romans chapter 2, verse 14 to 15, for the Gentiles who do not have the law, they don't have the Ten Commandments, they don't have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these although not having the law are a law to themselves, who show the works of the law, written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness between themselves, their thoughts accusing, also excusing them. So even the Gentiles who doesn't have the Ten Commandments, God's law is written in their heart, bearing conscience, bearing guilt. That's why if somebody does something wrong, even if they don't have the Ten Commandments, there is a guilty conscience. Any human. Somebody robs a bank, the first thing they do is what? Run. Run from whom? The police. There's a guilty conscience there. But however, there are some, for one person, what is not so evil, to another person, it could be very evil. See that? There are different standards of evaluation of evil, right? Some people might take, well, that's not that evil, it's not that bad. For another person, it could be extremely evil when it comes to evaluating evil. This is where the Ten Commandments comes in. As the Ten Commandments, it does not give a kind of a shadow, dimly look of evil. Ten Commandments brings out clearly, cut and dry, what sin is. It is perfectly being revealed to the church, the Ten Commandments. It becomes so clear to God's people what sin is. So here, when we evaluate sin, we see it cut and clear because we know the Ten Commandments. For another person, it could be kind of a less in a sense. That's why they don't take it seriously. That's why we need to study the Ten Commandments so we know how serious sin we have committed against God. When we know that, then what happens? It humbles our heart in repentance and cry towards God and realize that we have violated His law. That's why in Romans chapter 7, verse 7, Apostle Paul said, Romans chapter 7, verse 7, Paul said, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid, nay. I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Paul is saying, hey, Is the law sin? Of course not. If not for the law, I am not really known sin. So what does the law do? It really reveals what sin is. So, you don't have to evaluate. Well, for one person, it could be less. For the Christian, he should see it very clearly. We saw in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis 1:26 and 1:27, that God created man in his own image. 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image, the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So when God created man, he created in his own image, and that man has a body, soul and spirit, right? When God created man, it was body, soul and soul and spirit is interchangeable, and here we see that man was perfect. His creation was perfect. We were created holy when God created Adam and Eve. But when man fell, when he disobeyed God, here we see that man was perfect. His creation was perfect. We were created holy when God created Adam and Eve. But when man fell, when he disobeyed God, some people say only his body fell, not the soul. That is wrong. When man fell, that is called Neoplatonism. When man fell, his body also was affected by sin, but not only his body, his soul and all spirit too. That's why scripture says that no one seek God. Romans chapter 3, right? Verse 10 says that nobody seek God because body, soul, spirit is all affected and man died. Spiritually, he died, and also your physical body is going to die. So no one seek God. His whole, when man fell, his whole man fell, not part of the man. That's why Apostle Paul said, there's no one who understands. Romans chapter 3, he says, no one understands. Nobody seek God. All have gone astray. They all have become unprofitable. There's none who does good. Not one. Romans 3:9-12. Now go back to Exodus chapter 20. Verse 20. Verse 1. Says, and God spoke all these words saying. And here, he's just about to give the Ten Commandments, right? First thing he says, and God spoke. That means, and God spoke. That means he shows who is the author. The author is God. The Creator God shows His power and His majesty. If you hold on to Exodus and go to Genesis 1:3. Then God said, let there be light. Genesis 1:3. Exodus chapter 21, He says, and God spoke.
Wow.
What do we see here? We see His power, His majesty, after the fall of man, man was where? Man was under the bondage of what? Of sin. And the man was captive of Satan, and man was in the house of slavery. Man was dead under the captive of Satan. We were under the bondage of slavery, under sin. Go back to Exodus 20, verse 2, says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of what? Here we see God created man, the man fell, is under the bondage of Satan and sin in the house of slavery. In the same way we see, in a parallel form, in Exodus, God is the one who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. What do we see here? He's the one who redeemed us. He's the one who redeemed mankind. Now let us see. I want to show you the 10 words of creation that goes along with the Ten Commandments. The 10 words of creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God said, let there be light. That's the commandment. Let there be light. And let me turn to Genesis 6 says, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heavens to give. And then you see again in seven, let the water. 6 says, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Then 7, let the waters abound with an abundance living creatures, and let birds fly about the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. Then verse 9, then God said, let the waters, so all commandments under the heavens be gathered together into one place. Then 8. Is it 8? Okay. 11, I'm sorry. I'm going not in order here. And 11 says, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself. Then 14 says, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from night. Then 20 says, let the waters abound with an abundance living creatures. Then 22 says, God blessed him saying, be fruitful and multiply. It's a commandment. 24 says, let the earth bring forth the living creatures. Then verse 26 says, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness, let them all have dominion over the fish in the sea. So if you keep on reading, there are 10 words of commandments there. In the same way, in the book of Exodus, there are 10 commandments. And here we see God commanded for in His creation. In the same way, we see there is a recreation. What's the recreation? When man, God created man, then man fell, then God recreated man recreation means when the man is dead in his sins. Okay? There's no way you can please God. There's no way you can seek God. Because if you're a dead person cannot seek God. Dead person is dead. Right? You're in your grave. So what happens is that dead person becomes alive when God gives a commandment, okay? When he hears the word of God, that person can become alive. That means that person becomes regenerated. Then, once you're regenerated, that's the time you have faith and repentance. That's why in the book of Exodus, it's very clear. Exodus chapter 20. And we were, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. The Israelites cannot come on their own. Impossible to come there on their own from the land of Egypt. Because they were the minority. And even when they were coming, who came behind them? The enemy. And when the enemy came, what happened in front of them? What was there? Red Sea. Now what? Huh? Of course, there was fear, panic. So who opened the Red Sea? God. So everything belongs to the Lord. Lord is the one who did everything by His mighty hand. In the same way, man, he fell and man was dead in his sins. It is impossible for us to rise ourselves unless God gives us a new heart. Because the whole man is corrupted. Our heart are evil, it is corrupted, unless God gives us a new heart and a new spirit, we cannot raise ourselves. And here we see, then God, once the Israelites came out from the bondage, out of the Red Sea, then God gives what? The Ten Commandments. In the same way for the Christian, once you fell, you're fallen because of sin, then God regenerates you. Once God regenerates you, what does He give? He gives you the Word. He gives the Word. The law is revealed to the church. So we should not make a dim view of the law. We need to take the law of God seriously. Because the law of God reveals the will of God. It is the will of God that we should not have any other God. It is the will of God that we should not commit adultery. It is the will of God that we should not steal. It is the will of God that we should obey our parents. The unbeliever who does not have Ten Commandments, when he sees sin, he evaluates sin according to his reasoning. Right? But to the Christian, God has given He has given us the Ten Commandments. And He reveals His will against sin. And He has made it known in a clear and a precise manner on sin. And He has shown us His will. You don't have to reason. And once it becomes so clear, we need to make the Ten Commandments, the rule of living, because it is the standard for our moral life. Even D.L. Moody said, the Ten Commandments of God given to Moses in the Mount of Horeb are binding today, as ever they have been since the time when they were proclaimed in the hearing of the people. That was said by D.L. Moody. People who going out to movies, they're not even practicing what movies say. The Reformation began with who? Martin Luther, right? That's why we can call ourselves Protestants, right? Martin Luther, with Martin Luther came the Reformation, and we are all called Protestants. Now, majority of the Protestant churches are not teaching the law, they are against the law. But let's see what Martin Luther said about the law. I'm going to quote what Martin Luther said. Martin Luther said, "Thus we have the Ten Commandments, a content of divine doctrine as to what we are to do in order that our whole life may be pleasing to God, and the true fountain and channel from in which everything must arise and flow, that is to be a good work, so that outside of the Ten Commandments, no work or thing can be good or pleasing to God, however great or precious it be in the eyes of the world." Also Luther said, "From this it again appears how highly these Ten Commandments are to be exalted and extolled above all estates. Commandments and works which are taught and practiced aside from them, for here we can boast and say, let all the wise saints step forth and produce, if they can, a single work like these commandments upon which God insists with such earnestness, in which he enjoins with his greatest wrath and punishment, and besides adds such glorious promises that he will pour out upon us all good things and blessings. Therefore, they should be taught above all others, and be esteemed precious and dear as the highest treasure given by God." This is the man God used to bring the Reformation, the Protestant Church. He said we should teach the Ten Commandments above all others, should be esteemed and precious, as dear as the highest treasure given by God. No wonder those 700, 600 parishioners had been killed. Again we see massive crusades. A lot of people are coming to the Lord, they say. Many are getting saved. What's the problem? They have taken away the Ten Commandments from the church. It's been taken away. Done away. Whoever who teaches the Ten Commandments, they are branded as legalists. So, we don't have a rule of life. Thou shalt honor your parents. It's been taken away. So, how can you honor your parents as the children have become so disobedient to them? Thou shalt honor your God. Thou shalt not have any other gods. Because people have a lot of gods today. Sports, money, your bank account, Hollywood stars, all kinds of gods. You have all the time, the TV, all the time to watch TV, to get into a sports event, to cheer, and to get excited. Not the word of God. So we have other gods. Money, job. Tell you, all those things are going to pass away. All those things are going to pass away. They are going to burn. When you die, you are not going to take your money to heaven. Your jewelry, material things, they are going to burn. They're going to perish. When you die, your flesh, that you, so much money you put to your body, it's going to be, worms will be eating your flesh. You'll be a skeleton. You'll be rotten. That's all going to perish. What is going to remain is, what is going to remain is if you have repented of your sins. No matter what you have done, what you have done, God, Bible says, those days people will come and tell God, God, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Away from me. Your works are going to not going to send you to hell, heaven. It's only what Jesus Christ did on the cross, His atonement, that is what is going to save you. And if we hang on to what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross, His work on the cross, not our works. Our works are like a filthy rag, the Bible says. He fulfilled all the law, every bit of it. He fulfilled it 100%. And how we need, we are bankrupt here. He fulfilled 100%. And here we are, totally bankrupt, spiritually. And how we need, for us to go to heaven, or go to heaven, we need 100% righteousness. Because God is absolutely perfect and righteous. Anything below this, 98%, what you have done, no, not going to get you to heaven. To God's standard, you have to be perfect because He is perfect. So how can we go? The only way we can go is repenting of our sins and trusting what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, and in humility realizing that we deserve what? The wrath of God, because we have violated the law of God. Then God is going to impute the counting word, that righteousness, 100% righteousness of Jesus Christ to you, as He had imputed your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. He became the sinner, and now we became perfect. That's the only way you can go to heaven. But how, as Christians now, because He has done this, all this, now we need to love Him more. Walk as He walked. Love the commandments. Adore the commandments. The commandments are not going to pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall never pass away. How we need to get into the Word of God. You have time for the TV. You have time to watch your soap operas. You know all the actors, the film, the movies, all the latest songs, what's going on? You know the scriptures? You know the Word of God? That's not, all those other things are not going to take you. That's for your flesh. Pleasing the flesh. Your flesh is going to die. It's going to get rotten. You cannot go in this flesh to heaven. Absolutely not. You need another body to go to heaven. That's a heavenly body. God is going to prepare for you. But your soul, your spirit will go to heaven with a new body, but this flesh is going to die. So all the wealth and the money that you have spent is not going to, go down the drain. That's why we need to, whatever we do, even the money, finances, needs to use it for the Lord, right? For God. So that's why we need to get into the, we need to get into basics again. So next week we will see the first commandment, which is very powerful. And a lot of us are going to be convicted. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. And this is the most important the most important, the first commandment. Let's pray.